90.3 WRC FM Oshkosh. I'm Stuart Atkinson, alongside me, Landon Moore. And you're listening to the Sports Page, as always, here in the WRST studios every Monday from 5 to 6. And Landon, boy, was it a big, big sports weekend for Wisconsin fans and Oshkosh fans as the UW-Oshkosh football team defeated the third-ranked UW-Whitewater 27-20 to increase their home winning streak from 26-27. And with that win, they were co-champions and received an automatic bid to the 32-round team playoff in Division III. What were your overall thoughts from that huge upset win by the Titans and punching their ticket into the playoffs?
Yeah, just an unbelievable game for the Titans. Really a historical win on all fronts. And like you mentioned, a trip to the playoffs automatically in for Oshkosh. So just an unbelievable game from start to finish. Very exciting back and forth battle. And I tell you what, it was a great effort on all sides of the ball, offensively, defensively, and special teams, really coming up big in this win for the Titans. Offensively, even though they didn't have the ball for the majority of the game, Whitewater actually had possession for quite a bit of the game. They were still able to capitalize when it mattered most, including a huge fourth down and three conversion. Kobe Berghammer finding Mitch Guerin in the end zone for what would be the go-ahead touchdown in the second half. Defensively, they came up with five interceptions, including the game-sealing one, which was unbelievable, a great defensive performance. And special teams, Jaden Haig making some crucial field goals late to extend the lead for the Titans and really sealing the win. So just a great team effort, and now they are postseason bound and looking to possibly make an appearance in the Stag Bowl for the first time in 4 years.
Yeah, so before we get to breaking down the game a little bit more and those huge interceptions by the defense, and you mentioned it, Haig, two monster field goals in that fourth quarter to spread that one-point lead up to four and then up to seven, that golden number, a touchdown lead. But we are going to play some audio. We have audio from WRST on the call of that Berghammer fourth and four rollout 35-yard touchdown to Mitchell Guerin, the junior, to put Oshkosh up by one. So that will bring up a fourth down, but it looks like the Titans are going to go for it as they're on Whitewater's 35-yard line. Just over 9 minutes and 30 seconds remain here in the quarter, winding clock. And the Titans are going to go for it here on fourth down as they have a four wide receiver set, two to the right, three wide receiver set, two to the right, one to the near side. The tight end in there, McCutton. They're going to pass. Berghammer's back to pass. Nowhere. He's rolling out to his right. He can't find anyone. He's got a man. He throws it deep, and it's going to be caught for a touchdown. Touchdown, Oshkosh Titans. And it's to Mitchell Guerin, the junior. The Titans are on top. Will actually be a tie game. They'll have an extra point to go on top. Fourth and four, Kobe Berghammer, the freshman, rolls out right and throws a bomb to the junior wide receiver, his number one favorite target.
It's game time, baby!
Tie ball game.
What a special moment that was for everyone involved, myself included. I want to give a shout out to the players. I want to give a shout out to the coach, head coach, Pat Cerrone. He always says it's all about the players, and he's right. The players play, and I give tremendous respect to the players for coming out, protecting their home field, turning their 26 home game winning streak into 27, punching their ticket into the playoffs. Just a phenomenal performance. But Cerrone always takes all the credit and puts it on the players, so I want to take a little time here to give him a shout out and give him some credit, as I did post game on Saturday. He's built a winning culture here at Oshkosh. He's taken this team to a national championship. He's brought them to sectional finals a few times. He's won conference. He's beaten Whitewater, that big dog in the conference, and he's turned this whole program around. And this year, they were a young team. They got a freshman quarterback. Their senior class, I think, is only about 15 kids. And they were not expected to win conference this year. They were expected to be right in the middle of the pack and to be co-champions and punch their ticket into the playoffs with only one loss in conference and beating Whitewater, a top five team in the country. Just outstanding performance for Pat Cerrone and his Titan players.
Yeah, well said. And like you mentioned, you know, Pat Cerrone, a very selfish guy. Unselfish, I should say. He really likes to give credit to his players that make it happen. But like you said, he really has done a remarkable job, not only this year, but throughout his years as the Titans head coach, just what he's been able to do with this program. And like you mentioned as well, being able to go to the playoffs multiple times in the past few years. And again, a trip this year when it really didn't look like they were going to make the playoffs. A younger team, a freshman quarterback, and what he's been able to do to bring them to this point and to get that share of a WIAC conference championship. It's unbelievable. You can't say enough about the work he's done, and it's well-deserved too. A great guy and a great coach for this Titans football program.
And with that win, the Titans will be playing Central College down in Iowa. It's going to be a noon kickoff this coming Saturday. Huge game in Pella, Iowa. And we said it on the air on Saturday. You never just get in. Just get into the tournament. You never know what's going to happen. We don't know if Oshkosh is going to be able to come away with a victory on Saturday. But they're in the game. They got a chance now. And everyone's record once you get to the playoffs is 0-0.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about going 1-0. And, you know, like you mentioned, you know, throw the records out the window. It's a matter of beating your opponent for 60 minutes, four quarters. And if the Titans can do that, they survive in advance. You know, they got to do it again for 5 weeks, and hopefully at the end of the tournament at the Stag Bowl, they'll get that final victory and become NCAA Division III champs.
And unfortunately, we are not going to have the call for WRST for that game, as it is a 6-hour drive. We thought about it, but with the noon kickoff, just not the best time to be able to get down there. And if there wasn't the home opener for the men's basketball team, we would have found a way to get down there. But we are going to have the home opener for the men's basketball team this Saturday at 3:00 tip off. Myself and Landon will be on the call for that game, as they will be raising the banner for their national championship they won last year. It's going to be a special moment, Landon.
Yeah, I cannot wait for Saturday. It's going to be a really awesome moment to see what was an unbelievable year last year, culminating with a national championship, to celebrate that on Saturday. And a lot of the players that were involved with that team last year will be back for this year. And I cannot wait to see what that environment's going to be like in the Kolff Sports Center. Really going to be an amazing experience. And hopefully the Titans can come out and get a win in their home opener on Saturday.
And moving on from the men's basketball, women's basketball this weekend took a tough loss on Sunday, losing in overtime to Loras College, 88-83. Oshkosh was 2-0 going into that game. That drops their record to 2-1. Loras College now 3-0 on the year. They're going to have a great team. So tough loss, overtime on the road, but that's a good opponent. And later in the season, that's going to make this women's basketball team stronger, I believe.
Yeah, and if I remember right, I believe Oshkosh did play Loras in the NCAA tournament last year and actually beat them. So, I mean, there you go.
I think to advance to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I think that is right. Yeah. So there you go. Two quality teams, two very good teams, and meeting again this year. Unfortunately, like you mentioned, Titans coming up short in this one. But, you know, it's going to be a case where the Titans, obviously a good team and only going to get better, and, you know, a lot of season left. So, good to see them battling in this game, even though they came up on the short end. But it's going to be another good year for the Titan women basketball team.
Quick shout out to women's basketball player Leah Porath, as she scored a career high 26 points and grabbed a career high 12 rebounds. So with that, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to break down that Badger football win against Nebraska and that huge Badger basketball win against their rival Marquette. You're listening to The Sports Page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. Welcome back to The Sports Page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. Stuart Atkinson and Landon Moore in studio, as always. And we do have a special guest in studio, Ruby Anderson, as she is a freshman here at UW Oshkosh, and she will be contributing to the Sports Page and Sports Saturdays in the future. Ruby, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
Nice to have you in the studio. We'll get you plenty of airtime in the future, but so far, what have you learned being in the studio, and what do you like?
I like how we talk about all different teams, including the Badgers and UW Oshkosh teams, and I just like how we talk about all different types of teams instead of just UW Oshkosh.
So Ruby, liking the variety on the show, I hope you listeners out there do as well. So with that, we will dive right into some Badger sports as Badger football team, I'll say pounded Nebraska. It was close for a while, but a 16-point Big Ten win, I'll say pounded. Nebraska not the best team in the Big Ten, but still viable. So 37-21 win for the Badgers as Cohn, 13 of 21, 162 yards, one touchdown, no interception. So nothing spectacular out of him as we normally don't see him. Game manager did a great job, Bucky, putting 37 points on the board. But I'll ask you your thoughts on the game, Landon, but I want you to be thinking about this question when I send it to you. Can Cohn win the big game for us? I know we beat Michigan, but Michigan's not as good as we thought. And I think next year you have to consider starting Graham Mertz. The Badgers need a quarterback that can put them over the top. I don't know if it's Graham Mertz, but I do know I don't believe it's Jack Cohn. He's good enough to get you to a Big Ten championship game. I don't know if he's good enough to win a Big Ten championship game against Ohio State, and I don't know if he's good enough to win a playoff game if the Badgers ever do make it into that top four playoff bracket.
Exactly, and the thing with the Badgers, and this has obviously been the case for so many years, is they are so reliant on the running game that they really haven't had the need to have a prolific quarterback that needs to make plays and step up in big games when he's had to. Really going back to the 2011 year, Russell Wilson was basically the guy that a lot of Badger fans were waiting for, the guy that could do it all on the ground, through the air. And since he left, there has not been a single guy that has filled in and has done as well as he has. And I think that you make a good point in, you know, Jack Cohn seems like he's just one of these other guys, the Alex Hornibrooks, the Scott Tolzien's, you know, that just they're solid, but yet they don't have to make these big plays because there's always that solid running back that's going to carry this offense. And at some point you wonder if they're going to have a quality guy like a Graham Mertz that steps in and makes plays for them when they have to, because like we saw against Ohio State, when that ground game's not there, you got to have a quarterback that's going to be able to lead your offense through the air.
Yeah. I want to step in here real quick. All great points there. And I'm with you on all of them. I just want to add that I don't want people to think we're just bashing Jack Cohn. We don't see how much work he puts into it. I'm sure he's a terrific kid. I love him. I love what he represents. I'm happy he's the Badger quarterback. But just stepping back and looking at it from a perspective of what do the Badgers need to get over the hump of just getting to the Big Ten championship game? How do they get over the hump to winning those, getting to Rose Bowls, and then eventually getting to the playoffs and maybe competing? Because they have the players. They have the coaching staff. They have the offensive line. They have the running game. They have the top, you know, five defense in the country. They just need that quarterback. And Jack Cohn is for a Division I football team. I mean, he would start on the majority of all of them and be great. But when you're on the Badgers, they're looking to take that next step. They've been a very, very solid program, and I'm proud to be a Badger fan. But if they want to take that leap and to get into the playoffs and be able to compete against the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Ohio States, I think they do need a quarterback that can do a little bit more than Cohn through the air and through his feet. And I know the Badgers were blessed with Russell Wilson. I hope Badger fans don't take that for granted, as he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer in the NFL. He's been to two Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl. Very high chance he's going to win the MVP this year. Those don't just fall in your lap. I'm not expecting Graham Mertz to be Russell Wilson, but I think the Badgers do need to go to an option where their quarterback can not just manage the game for them, but maybe when the running game's not there and the defense isn't there, win the game for them. Because when's the last time you said the Badgers quarterback won the game for the Badgers? Like, he had the game-winning drive. He put the team on his back. It's been since Russell Wilson.
Exactly. And I think that's why, luckily, there's so much optimism here with Graham Mertz, because you know, he's the guy that could potentially be a little different from what these other guys that we've seen in recent years, where he can make those plays when you need him to make those plays. He can throw it through the air, and they don't have to be so reliant on the ground game, even though that's probably going to be the staple for this Wisconsin team, you know, for future years, because these top class running backs are going to want to play for Wisconsin because they have a legitimate shot at going to the NFL. But like you said, I mean, all good points there, where at some point you want a solid quarterback to lead you in potential game winning drives and can take that next step. Because as Badger fans, you know, we can expect solid 8, 9, 10 win years, but going to the playoffs, being a top four team, like, it seems like every year it's not a legitimate possibility, because there's always one or two games that just get you every time.
And as great as we shouldn't go this segment without giving a shout out to Jonathan Taylor, passing Herschel Walker for the most rushing yards in Division I history through their first 3 years in college football. So shout out to him. And as great as Jonathan Taylor is, 204 yards, 2 touchdowns on 25 carries, averaged 8.2 yards a carry. He was phenomenal, but to some level you can in college, but especially not in the NFL, but even at the college level, your running back can't just put the team on their back, because the defense can load the box and you see that all the time. Teams know that their Badgers quarterback's not going to beat them, and then they load the box, and our offensive line and running game is so good, we can just keep pounding the rock downhill, especially against these Nebraska teams and stuff. But when you get to Ohio State, which is the team you need to beat, like, eventually you need to beat Ohio. If you don't beat Ohio State, you're not going to the playoffs, unless they're not on your schedule. But you're probably going to have to play them in the Big Ten championship game. You have to beat Ohio State, and you cannot beat them just running it every single play and then forcing your quarterback to convert third and mediums, which is what you want. Our quarterbacks are not built to convert third and mediums over and over and over again. They need someone to put the ball over the top. I don't want to sound negative. I love the Badgers. We are lucky to be Badger fans, as there's many other programs that need a lot more help. But if they want to go over the top, I mean, I've seen it with Cone. I've seen it with Hornibrook. And I stood up for Hornibrook last year. Anyone that listens to the show, I defended him with great honor. But there needs to be some type of change at quarterback if they're going to be at a team like Ohio State.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what I really hope happens is we do have an Ohio State-Wisconsin rematch in the Big Ten championship game, because that's going to tell us a lot about the future of the quarterback position at Wisconsin. If Jack Cone can somehow lead the Badgers to a victory over Ohio State, you know, he could be the answer for the next couple years. But if he falls short again, you very well could see a change.
So transitioning now from the field to the court, huge win yesterday for Bucky as they beat their in-state rival 77-61 at the Kohl's Center. Huge win for the Badgers, Landon. My expectations for the Badgers this year are not extremely high. I think they're going to compete in a lot of games. I don't think they're going to get blown out a lot. I said this last week. I think they're going to win games they shouldn't. I think they're going to lose games they should win. And I think yesterday is a great example. They're always going to play great team defense. And when they're knocking shots down, they're going to be a good team. It's just a matter of, are they going to consistently knock shots down and put points on the board? But yesterday they were able to do so as Aleem Ford. I mean, it was a team effort. Ford had 12. Trice had 10. Davidson had 15. Kobe King had 10. Pritzel was huge with 15. And then Reavers, their main scorer, only with 10. So you like to see that team basketball and overall around scoring. But I think throughout the year, it's going to hurt them, their lack of offensive scoring. But huge win yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this was a game that I was not surprised that they won. I am surprised at the way they did win, being that they did win by 15 points, or I should say 16 points. And, you know, it was great to see that they did have that balanced scoring. And like we talked about on last week's show, the big question coming into this year was, how were they going to fill that scoring that Ethan Happ provided for them last year? And it is good to see that they did. We were able to have those starters really chipping in all across the board evenly, all five starters in double digits. And, you know, that's going to be huge for them this year, just to, you know, have that balanced scoring. Like we saw with the Titan men last year, there wasn't that one guy that, you know, you really had to rely on in order to win games. It was everybody chipping in. And I think that's going to be what the Badgers will have to do this year in order to win those games that will be close.
Yeah, I think, you know, just being in the Big Ten and how tough it's going to be, Michigan State, obviously, they're a top five team in the country. Ohio State looks really good. Michigan's really good. I think we're going to see some good basketball out of Indiana and Michigan. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be Purdue's going to be solid. But, you know, their slow pace of play and their defense always keeps them in games. So, like, they're going to be in games. And you know, it's going to be an interesting season. I think I said it last week too, but I think if they finish top six in the Big Ten, I think that's a win, because this is kind of a transition year. They have a top 10 recruiting class coming in next year. I can't even remember the last time the Badgers have been in the top 25 for a recruiting class. I'm not even sure if they ever have, to be honest. They're known for getting, you know, three-star guys and kind of coaching them up, redshirting them. But they got some big names coming in next year, top 10 recruiting class. So I think starting next year and the year after, they're really going to hit their stride. But if they can keep that winning culture and get be a top six team in the Big Ten, I think it would be success. I think it's all about what your expectations are going into the season. If you're a Badger fan and you expect the Badgers to win the Big Ten this year, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, but like you said, a top six finish in the Big Ten is certainly realistic. You're going to have...
You can make the tournament with that.
You can. I mean, you're going to have teams like Michigan State and Ohio State that are going to probably be in the top two or three in the conference. But if you do finish just a slightly below them, you do have a legitimate shot at making the tournament, just given the fact that I think the Big Ten overall is probably the best college basketball conference there is. So that certainly helps their case, playing those tough opponents all year round. And like you said, this could be a huge year for them if they do finish, you know, going into the tournament, you know, even if it's like an early round exit, a round of 64 exit. But the future is bright for them if they've got these guys that can come in and really step up in future years. You know, they can really build on the success that they've had for so many years. And even though this is a transition year, they could really be, you know, a solid, good team, you know, a top 10 team in the future.
And it's early, so, you know, I mean, they're a couple games in, so, you know, we don't know if they're going to be, they're going to be way better than we think, you know, way worse. It's early, but, you know, from what I've seen, I think our top six finish in the Big Ten would be great success this year. So with that, we are going to take a break, but when we come back, the Packers were on a bye, but we'll talk about the matchup next week against, or this week against the 49ers and what we saw in the rest of the NFL this weekend. You're listening to The Sports Page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. Welcome back to The Sports Page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. As promised, we're going to get into the Packer matchup this week against the 49ers. They did have a bye yesterday, so we don't have anything to talk about there. But the Packers almost caught a big break with the Vikings potentially losing to the Broncos, and the Broncos choked on us, Landon.
Yeah, tough loss there. You know, watching that game, it was very shocking to see the Broncos get out to such an early lead. And 20-0 at halftime, you're really feeling good. And but the only drawback to that is Minnesota, even though they came out super flat in that game, you know, Mike Zimmer, I don't know what he said at halftime, but it worked, because that offense looked unstoppable in the second half, and you knew right then and there Denver was in trouble. And, you know, we saw it at the end there. Vikings go ahead, take a 27-23 lead, and they were able to come up with the goal line stand. But huge moment in that game there. You know, unfortunately, the Broncos weren't able to get the job done and help us Packer fans out. But, you know, it's that just goes to show, you know, you never take any team for granted, because I think the Vikings, like we saw with the Packers in LA playing the Chargers, really weren't 100% focused like they needed to be. And that showed up on the football field, getting down early. So I think if you're the Packers, even though that was a tough break, seeing the Vikings coming back and winning in that game. That just is motivation to you to really focus in on these next 6 weeks, because you know, the Vikings certainly are going to be right on your tail, and you don't want to take any steps back, because that ultimately could cost you the division. So hopefully the Packers can come out with a strong mentality here in their next game against the 49ers and what will be probably their biggest matchup of the year thus far, a primetime showdown. And, you know, it'll be good for Green Bay just to see how they come out in this game after the bye week, to see how they're going to be prepared for this one. I think they're going to come out with a lot of energy, and it's going to be an amazing game from start to finish. I cannot wait for it to happen.
Yeah, and this game has huge playoff implications. Home field advantage, potential bye. And, you know, the Packers, they almost caught two huge breaks yesterday with the Cardinals leading the 49ers the majority of that game. So could have been a great day for Packer fans yesterday with a Viking and 49ers loss. Unfortunately, they both win. So 49ers 9-1, Packers 8-2. And like you mentioned, primetime, that game was flexed to Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, so you're going to have the entire country watching you. But the Packers have looked good in primetime. We saw it in Kansas City last month, getting that huge win in Arrowhead. So this will be familiar territory for them. And if you're the Packers, obviously you want to come out and win this game. But even if you do lose, if San Francisco does win this game, you still can't get down on yourselves, because, you know, you're losing to a quality opponent in the 49ers. And luckily for them, the schedule turns in their favor, though. After the 49ers, they've got three beatable opponents, the Giants, the Redskins, and the Bears. You hope that they can take advantage in those weeks and get those necessary wins. And then you have that huge showdown on Monday Night Football in Minnesota. Very well could decide the division, and then ending up in Detroit, which could end up being a meaningless game if the Packers do get into the playoffs by that point. But a huge start to this six-week stretch coming up on Sunday, and it's going to be a fantastic game, and hopefully the Packers can get the win.
I don't want to dwell on the past or yesterday, but every time I think about the Vikings potentially losing yesterday, it kills me. They could have been set up perfect. Vikings are 8-3. They would have been 7-4. Packers would have been a game and a half up on them, and then, you know, let's say they lose to 49ers. Like you said, they got those three very winnable games coming up. So let's say they do beat the 49ers. It's going to be a great game. 49ers favored by three. So it's going to be a close game. Let's say they beat the 49ers. That puts them at 9-2. Those next three games, they should win. Now they're 12-2. And the Vikings already have four losses because they lost to the Broncos. They're sitting really pretty. Obviously, that's a lot of ifs and predicting, but it would have been huge if the Broncos could have held on to that win. But nonetheless, the division is in the Packers' hands, because they are ahead of the Vikings now. And if they just keep winning, they'll take care of their own destiny. But going to be a great game on Sunday night. Packers 3-1 on the road. 49ers 4-1 at home. So going to be a tough environment there. Packers on the year averaging 25 points a game, which is ninth in the league, so top 10. And like we said, Landon, I think first or second show of the year here, Packers offense, or the Packers were 3-0, but the offense wasn't clicking. And what did we say? We said, give it time, let Matt LaFleur get his system in place, let the players get a little more comfortable, and now they're a top 10 offense, so they're clicking.
Exactly. And, you know, like we said, it was only going to be a matter of time. And exactly, that's what happened. It's great to see that the continuity between Rodgers and his receivers is really, you know, showing up here. The running game's been solid with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, especially Aaron Jones, who, you know, you could say has been the offensive MVP for the Packers so far this year. And I love the play calls that LaFleur has drawn up. It's certainly a totally different offense from what we saw with Mike McCarthy the past couple of years. I love the change. You're really seeing a lot of creativity on LaFleur's end. So, and it's worked great. You know, defenses really haven't been able to come up with an answer so far for what the Packers have done offensively, looking like the 2011 Packers, where they were putting up 40, 50 points a game. So, you know, hopefully they can keep it rolling. They've got, you know, some you know, 49ers team defensively, they've been pretty solid this year. I know Nick Bosa is having a tremendous rookie season, so that's going to be an issue if he starts to get into the backfield and apply pressure to Rodgers in that offense. But if they're able to protect Rodgers, give him time in the pocket, I think he'll dissect that 49ers defense and really go to work and puts a lot of points on the board.
And with that offense creeping into the top 10, like we kind of predicted they would start clicking, the defense kind of taken a little step back from those first few games. And, I mean, you knew it was going to happen. You felt good about it, and you thought the Packers defense was going to be solid this year, and it has been. It's been way better than it has been. Points per game, they're giving up 20.5, which statistically that's 14th in the NFL. It's in the top half, you know, not by much, but it is. It's in the top half. It's not as great as I think a lot of people thought it was, because they were like top five after the first 3 weeks. They were getting turnovers, like two, three turnovers a game. The Smith brothers were applying tremendous pressure on the opposing team's quarterbacks weekly. And now it seems like they're still getting, they got some turnovers against the Panthers, which was huge. That's pretty much the reason why they won the game, because the Panthers were moving the ball up and down the field at will. I believe, I'm not even sure if they punted in that game.
They did.
Yeah.
Nope.
So the Panthers didn't even punt in that game, and they put up, what, 14 points? I mean, we got to look up if that's ever happened in the history of the NFL, because I'm going to guess no, unless it's very rare. You don't never punt the ball and only score 14 points. But they're going to need to keep getting turnovers, because they give up a ton of yards. They give up 385 yards a game, which is 28th in the NFL. So everyone back in this Packer defense, which I think it's good enough to win a Super Bowl. I mean, compared to what it's been the last 5 years, it's good enough. They get key turnovers. They apply some pressure. And with that offense and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's working. It's working. But the defense does need to improve a little bit. I like the bend but don't break mentality, but you just hope it's not a bend but don't break, and then you get in the playoffs and you play a really good team and it just breaks a little bit and you don't get that turnover. Or instead of giving up field goals in the red zones, you give up touchdowns. And that's what I'm worried about. When you're giving up 385 yards a game, your defense isn't tremendous.
Right, and that's something I really want to see from this Packers team these next 6 weeks is definitely stopping teams early in drives and not necessarily having to force three and outs, but just not allowing teams to march down the field at will and get into the red zone to potentially score those points. Because like you mentioned, giving up, you know, 300-plus yards a game, you know, that's great if you're forcing turnovers in the red zone, but if you don't get those turnovers like you've relied on all year, you know, that's going to result in points for that team. And then you're going to have to rely on that offense to get you back into the game. And that's exactly what we saw, you know, the Packers of old, even though, you know, the offense was so great, like in the 2011 year, you know, the defense just let them down time in and time out again. So, you know, hopefully the Packers can defensively apply that pressure that we've seen early on in the drive of the opposing team, not allow them to march down the field. And that gives the offense an advantage to put up a big lead and a sizable lead, so that the way the defense isn't always having to make those crucial stops.
I'll end on this note. I'll end with this statistic before break so you can just think about it. This statistic completely backs up the bend but don't break mentality the Packers have. I said they're giving up 385 yards, which is 28th in the NFL, but their red zone touchdown percentage, so team scoring touchdowns in the red zone, only 48% of the time. That's 7th in the NFL. So they have a top 10 red zone defense in terms of giving up touchdowns. That's the definition of bend but don't break. Give up a whole bunch of yards, but when they get in the red zone, they don't give up touchdowns.
Exactly. So, making those stops when they need to, forcing those opponents to kick field goals, and on occasion getting turnovers, fumbles, interceptions in the red zone. That's been huge for the Packers this year.
So I'll leave you with that statistic. So we are going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little Milwaukee Bucks. And then, as always, we'll have Landon and Stu head-to-head picks. You're listening to the Sports Page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. Welcome back to the Sports Page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh. I'm Stuart Atkinson, Landon Moore to my left as always. So we talked a little Badgers, We talked a little Packers. We talked some nice Oshkosh football and basketball at the beginning. Another shout out to the Oshkosh football team making the playoffs. And now we wrap it up with maybe the best team in Wisconsin. That's between the Packers and the Bucks. The Badgers are up there, but I mean the Packers have Super Bowl hopes, and we know what the Bucks' goals are. It's to win the NBA championship. They're the odds-on favorite to make it to the finals out of the East. So I would say they are the best team in Wisconsin. What do you say?
Boy, that's a great debate right there. And well,
who would be better? Maybe the Packers?
Maybe.
I can't think of another team.
I think that we have to see a little bit more of the Bucks right now. It's still a little early, in my opinion.
Well, I'm just going to chime in. I disagree. You saw last year they were two games away from the finals. They bring almost the entire squad back and then bring more veterans back, and you still had the same head coach. And they're off to a great start. I mean, people are saying like they're worried about the Bucks, but in reality, they're 9-3. And two of those three losses, one was in overtime when they're up by 20 points in the home opener to the Heat, and they just had an emotional letdown. So that's an anomaly. And then their other one, it was a three-point loss against a very, very good Utah Jazz team on the road when they were getting pounded, and they fought all the way back, which shows tremendous heart. They're 9-3 on the year. You saw what they did last year. You can easily say that they are the best team in the state because we don't know how good the Packers defense is, and we haven't seen them perform in the playoffs for a couple years, and they have a rookie head coach. The Bucks are proven not over a decade, and so like the Packers, but last year and a half or so, I think you can say they're the best team in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, I would not disagree with you on that at all. I mean, the only question I have is, are they going to be able to keep it up? It looks like they can. I mean, they've got the players to do that. Starters have looked great. Obviously, Giannis coming off of his MVP season, picking up right where he left off last year. The bench has looked outstanding so far. And, you hope that they can just continue to, take it one game at a time and really step up. And they've done that so far.
I think people need to... I'm going to go on a little rant here because everyone knows the Bucks are my team. The Bucks are they're like my child. I've been a Bucks fan since I was about 3.5 years old. From the age of about 8 years old to about 17, you know how many Bucks games I missed? Zero. Okay? I missed zero. Friends wanted to hang out on the weekend. I say, are we going to watch the Bucks game? They say, oh, no, we're going to go to the movies. All right, I'm not going. That's how much of a diehard Bucks fan I am. Obviously, I miss games now because I'm an adult and I have other responsibilities, but I almost watch every single game still. I watched them when they were terrible. I watched them in 2014 when they went 15-67. I've seen this team be the worst team in the NBA. Now we've seen them go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. We've seen them have a player on their team win an MVP. We've seen Middleton be an all-star. We've seen Budenholzer be coach of the year. We have the new arena. We've seen, and I don't understand how you can watch this team be so bad for so long, and now all of a sudden they get really good, and they're 9-3, and it's... people, not you in particular. I'm just saying other people, they're 9-3 and, oh, Bucks don't look good. What's wrong with the Bucks? I don't know if they're as good. What are you guys smoking? Seriously. You watched this team be terrible for 20 years, all the way back to 2003 when they had Glenn Robinson and Ray Allen. That was the last time they were good. And now they were the number one seed in the East last year, best record in the NBA, two wins away from the finals. They have the MVP. They're 9-3. Their two losses are by one possession and an overtime. And then their other losses at Boston, which they've lost, what, one or two games all year. And they're 9-3. And their second best player, Middleton, just got hurt. And they're still balling out. And they're extremely deep. They got Robin Lopez coming off the bench. DiVincenzo starting out for Middleton, but you got him off the bench. Kyle Korver off the bench, great addition. You have George Hill, who's probably putting up his best numbers in the last 6 years of his career. His shooting percentage is outstanding this year. His assist-to-turnover ratio is top 10 in the NBA. Look it up. So you want to tell me that the Bucks are, I need to see more. What more do you need to see? They've proven to me that the regular season is about staying healthy. It's about getting home court advantage, getting a one or two seed, and then taking care of business in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know how to top that other than the Bucks are in a great position right now. The best position that they have been in for who knows how long. I mean, this really looks like it could be their year. Obviously, we'll have to see what happens with the rest of those top East Conference defenders and then the two LA teams in the West. Probably the Bucks will play one of them in the finals, but they've got a shot, and not just a shot. They've got a legitimate shot at winning it all. So exciting.
When Vegas says they're the favorite to make the finals, you can say they're the best team in Wisconsin. You can say it. Because Vegas knows what they're talking about. That doesn't mean Milwaukee is getting to the finals, but when Milwaukee says they're the favorite to get to the finals, and as good as the Packers are, NFC is loaded. You got the 49ers. You got the Seahawks, who have same record as the Packers right now, and they're second place in their division. You got the Vikings, who, as good as the Packers are, we don't even know if they're going to win their own division yet. So as good as the Packers are, the Milwaukee Bucks are the best team in Wisconsin. Case closed, in my opinion.
All right, well,
let's move on. Let's move on to Landon and Stu's picks, because I think I wrapped that one up pretty nicely, if I do say so myself. So now let's transition. Landon and Stu head-to-head picks. Last week,
it was unforgettable.
Terrible week for me last week picking games. I went against my gut in the Monday Night Football game, and it cost me. I went 0-3. Landon went 2-1. But you want to know how on fire I've been this whole year? With you going 2-1 and me going 0-3, I still have the better overall record, and that's what matters. You are getting close. You're 6-8 on the year. I'm 7-6. So we got a long ways to go. Hopefully I can keep you behind me and finish in first place. So first game I have on the board is college basketball. I got Hawaii versus Illinois. Illinois favored by 15. I picked this game, so Landon, you give me your pick first.
All right. I will be the first to admit I have no familiarity with either team. Although,
a big reason why I put them on the board, because I knew you probably wouldn't know nothing about them.
You got me there. I do know, though, that Illinois has been a struggling basketball team in recent years, and they really haven't looked that sharp this year. For that reason, I am going to take Hawaii on the road.
Smart. I'm taking Hawaii plus 15. Way too many points. Illinois, they don't have a great home court advantage. Hawaii, they have enough talent to stay in this game. Illinois, yeah, they've looked decent so far because they haven't played anybody. Hawaii is the best team they're going to play this year to this point, and that's not saying much because Hawaii's not that good. They're going to keep this game within 15. I'll take Hawaii plus 15.
All right, so for my game, I have a big game next Sunday in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks will be in Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. The early line in this game is Eagles -2.
So before I make my pick, I'll send it over to our guest here in studio, Ruby Anderson. She's going to make a guest pick. Ruby, who do you like in this matchup?
You know, both really good teams, but I'm going to have to say Seahawks because they're undefeated on the road, and playing against Eagles on the road, I think their chances are pretty high to win that matchup.
You know what, Ruby? I couldn't agree more. I like Seattle. Give me Seattle. You're giving me 2 points. I don't need them. Seattle's going to win this game outright. Philadelphia has a lot of injuries. Their offense has no speed. They have a lot of talent, just too many injuries. You know, coming off that Patriots loss last night, I still think the Eagles, after this game, their schedule eases up big time. They got a couple games against the Giants still. They have a game against the Redskins, and I believe they have a game against the Dolphins too. So don't count out the Eagles to win their division, but they don't beat Seattle. Seattle undefeated on the road, like Ruby said. Take Seattle.
Yep, I am going to agree with both of you. I was very surprised that the Eagles were favored in the early line, and it may change throughout the week, but Seattle undefeated on the road looked great last week in San Francisco. Philadelphia only put up 10 points yesterday to the Patriots. That offense, really no consistency there. And for that reason, I got Seattle.
Moving on to the last game of our picks, Monday Night Football, as always. Now, I have down here Chiefs -5 as the spread. Let me tell you, 4 days ago, it opened Chiefs -3. Then it was -3 the majority of the week. Saturday, it went to -4. And then yesterday, it creeped all the way up to -4.5. I was like, wow. Then today, when I was making our outline, it went to -5. And I checked before we came on the air, and it's now Chiefs minus 5.5. So there is tremendous amount of money coming in on the Chiefs. It went from minus 3 all the way up to 5.5. We're going to take the 5 because that's when I made the outline. I like the Chiefs to win this game, but 5's too many points. Give me the Chargers plus 5. I think the Chiefs win this game by a field goal.
All right, I'm going to take the LA Chargers. It should be noted this is a neutral site game. It's going to be played in Mexico.
So you're taking the Chargers plus 5 as well?
I am going to take the Chargers plus 5. I know
that's not guarantees that I will be ahead of you next week because we picked all the same picks.
Right, but we still have a couple more shows. So
that's true.
I'm giving myself a little bit of room here. But yeah, I think the Chargers will pull off the upset in this one.
All right, so I still think the Chiefs win, but I think Chargers keep it close. I'll take plus 5. So with that, we're going to wrap up our show. Please stay here and listen to the Shuffle and tune in next Monday for the sports page and Saturday as we have home opener for men's basketball, 3 p.m. Saturday. This has been the sports page here on 90.3 WRST FM Oshkosh.